True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal's everywhere. Well, Sal's at minicamp. Sal's at your golf. Yeah. I saw Sal. I saw him at T-ball.
Wait a minute. The thing you were at for why you couldn't golf, yep. Sal was at, but he also golfed?
Apparently. No one's able to do more things at one time than Sal. He's the man of all trades.
He might just own a helicopter and we don't know it.
Get to the chopper!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Big weekend at T-ball. Picture day, games.
Nice.
Lots going on. And, of course, mandatory minicamp for the Bills tomorrow.
Did you buy a Yankees hat yet?
I'm not buying a Yankees hat. I will point out, Sal, you'll appreciate this, my wife has a Yankees hat. She bought our daughter a Yankees hat. My son, of course, plays for the Yankees. And I am the holdout. I don't have a Yankees
Sal,
hat.
Sal, I've sent him some Yankees hats that actually are pretty. Like, you wouldn't even know it's a Yankees hat. And it's nice.
Yeah, listen, I know. I totally understand it because – I remember one year we were like, boy, we hope we don't get on the Red Sox. They have to wear Red Sox here, right? Like,
yeah.
You get, and every year, the way it works at Shoshone, where your kids are playing and my son, it's every age group that you go up, it's American League for one, National League for the next. We are currently in National League, so this year Max is on the Braves.
All right. Okay.
Last year, it was the Athletics, and it said Oakland on the jersey. Well, in real life, they're no longer. So they actually literally, I said, what are they going to do with that team? And they kept it. They just wrote Athletics on the jerseys.
Yeah. Well, Sal, like to the point about what you're going to wear, Yankee, Joe sent me a link to a Yankees hat that had, whatever, ocean waves
it was
on
like
the
a,
brim.
It was like a Fiji
it was a style
Yankees
hat.
And yeah.
I finally
different
thought,
style.
You know what? I'll tell you the Yankee hat I would wear. It would have a Yankee logo on it, and then around the rest of the crown, it would say in big block letters, in T-ball only. You know? Because really, that's what it's about. I don't want anyone confusing me with a Yankee fan. That would be weird. It would be, wait a minute. I didn't know you were a Yankee fan. You're just walking down the street, and somebody says tries to tell me something about what Judge did or who's starting for the Yankees.
I'm that's the best part.
I don't want to have this conversation with you. I don't like the Yankees. Anyway, go Yankees.
Yeah, I totally get that. So funny, right? Yeah.
Would you wear a Red Sox cap if Max was on the Sox?
You would not.
I mean, if I was I don't know. I'm not a big cap.
Oh, here we go.
I didn't wear an Oakland jersey or a cap last year, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I wore I think I just would wear a regular cap if I did. So a lot of times you just don't wear a cap.
Yeah, right. I like it. All right, Sal. So mandatory minicamp for the Bills starts tomorrow. We're at the point where the James Cook, whatever. It's not quite a saga yet. It's been a slow burn here this offseason. And now with the latest from Adam Schefter is he does expect him to not be there for mandatory minicamp and says he might not be in Buffalo for quite some time. You know, looking at this one day out of where this would escalate to another stage, how are you feeling about James Cook's season this year? Not just where things stand right now, but where things could go. Like, how many different roads do you think this could take?
Well, I think it would take a lot of different roads. But I think the one thing that you still come back to is And I think about a lot of what Brandon Bean has talked about, saying that, you know, James Cook, he's confident he'll be playing in a Buffalo Bills summit in 2025. And James Cook is under contract to the Buffalo Bills in 2025. I mean, that's the bottom line. He has a contract. And, you know, he can choose to play it a different way, and there's a lot of financial penalties that way. It rarely gets to that point in the NFL, and that's why I feel like it won't get to that point at some point. Right now, obviously the storyline is if he's there or if he's not. It's a trending towards him not being there. And I think there's two parts of this, right? There's the Bills part, and there's James Cook's part. And there's a lot of talk about, well, what's he going to sacrifice? How much is he going to get fined? I don't know if James Cook and his representatives care about that right now, to be honest with you. Sure, I mean, at some level they care, right? But it's not a ton of money, and do the ends justify the means? Let's take it from the player's standpoint. Okay, if they miss, if they get fined, and, you know, eventually, hey, we're still going to make up this money for some contract we signed, whether that's by the Bills or somebody else or however this works out. So I don't know if that matters as much. And then you have the Bills side, which is, hey, this is mandatory. We want everybody here, and of course they do. They're not going to be happy that James Cook isn't at mandatory minicamp, but his teammates will also know, hey, he's been here 3 years. He knows the system. They'll say all the things that are supportive of him. So I think that, you know, right now you'll get that newsy stuff, but honestly, there's just kind of two sides to look at it, and it really doesn't come to a head until he gets training camp.
Sal, what do we know about the agent here? I'm, you know, Spotrac listed as Matthew Leiston. I'm seeing he's only negotiated one contract before. I just wonder if there's anything to that. You know, sometimes a player will fire their agent and get somebody bigger, like Drew Rosenhaus. I feel like he just closed somebody's deal after it wasn't working out for a while. And I don't know about Cook or much about his agent, but could that be part of what's at work here? Is you have an agent that, I don't want to say like the agent is leading the player the wrong direction, but they work in concert, and sometimes, you know, the agent might have an approach and the player is interested in that, or the agent wouldn't push back on something a player might be saying. I wonder if you have any thought on that, on who the agent might be, and if inexperience or a veteran agent might make things different.
So a lot of times they have agencies and they're repped by different people in the agency at different various points of their negotiations, for their marketing, their, you know, on-field product, whatever. So could be that specific guy, but it could be other people also for the agency. I will say this, though. It's a good point you bring up, because when I was at the combine, you know, and this was starting to percolate a little bit and we were talking, I had asked a couple of people around in the NFL who've kind of dealt with agents before and these situations, and that was the one thing that was said to me a couple of times, which is James Cook has an agent that kind of, he has a reputation like this, like where, and I think Dalvin was his client as well. And I don't know, and again, it could be that specific person you're referencing, but Dalvin's client, there was another person, I can't remember the player, it was said to me that they went through a similar type of deal. And I mean, look, at the end of the day, James Cook is his own man, and he's an adult, and he can make decisions and say, no, I'm showing up. But I walked away from these conversations thinking a lot of this could very well be agent-driven, and saying, here, this is what you do. This is the playbook, right? This is how we're going to handle this. And that's kind of what I got. And then on top of that, you get Dalvin, who, you know, he's not shy about tweeting out numbers on social media and how he's acted. And he's got, it seems to me, this is my opinion now, it seems to me that James Cook has several people who are influencing him, giving him the playbook, telling him how to go about this. I'm not saying that he agrees or disagrees. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like this is just James Cook holding some firm line on his own and being, you know, kind of away from everybody and what they think.
Yeah, I wonder also how updated, Jeremy, this Spotrac profile is of the agent, because do you know who the one, you said he has one contract negotiated. Do you know who it is?
The NFLPA's website says he has one contract.
So does Spotrac, but you know who the one player is?
No.
Caden Prather. The Bills' seventh-round rookie who just signed his rookie contract, like, what, a month ago? So I don't know, though, how experienced or unexperienced he is. Sal, I wonder how active this negotiation even is. Like, how much – this is kind of a guessing game, but I wonder how much of Cook, you know, if he skips mini camp and if whatever his next, you know, path takes. You mentioned Brandon Bean's comments. Does it feel like to you that this is a back and forth, or that it's maybe more of a dormant negotiation at this point in time?
It feels to me like it's more the latter, Joe. Not that they haven't talked necessarily. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But I don't think there's, like, offers going back and forth. Brandon Bean basically said to us at the owners' meetings, once they realized that you know, they had this group of five, right, including Josh. So a group of four guys, I guess it would be group of five, who signed the extensions? Rousseau, Shakir, Bernard, and
Benford.
Benford, thank you. So yeah. Four, five with Josh. So five total new guys, you know, guys on their expiring deals with James Cook. And what Brandon Bean essentially said, if you go back to the owners' meetings, was, you know, they made contact with all these guys. And once it became clear that they weren't going to get anything done with James Cook, they pivoted to the other guys. And then he basically said, I think he used the word next year. Like, we can get something done next year. Like, it seems to me like the Bills from their side, from the messaging that we heard back then, was, yeah, we're kind of done with this. We're not really revisiting this. Now, that doesn't mean that James Cook can't come back and his agent go, okay, listen, this is gone. We've made our point, but we can come down. And then you never know how those conversations go. But I don't get the sense that this is actively back and forth, anything like that, as far as numbers are concerned.
Mandatory minicamp opens tomorrow. Some of the potential next steps could involve a hold-in, a trade request. I mean, this time of year is tough to get a trade. I mean, we've seen some players use that. Jonathan Taylor is one. And Sal, I've seen a little bit about he might have to report to camp anyway because of the way that the CBA works, and that's why hold-ins have become more of a thing. It's not necessarily to get rid of a fine, but just because there's some language in the CBA that in order for your contract to toll, you have to be at camp. So he could be there, and then it gets awkward if he's there and holding in. So, I mean, lots of different ways yeah. This whole thing could go.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Yeah, and we thought, I mean, even Oates, even Mandatory Minicamp, maybe he's here and he's holding in, right? I mean, that you get to camp, you could hold in. And it does become awkward and it does become weird. It becomes a story. And let's remember, Hard Knocks cameras are going to be a training camp, right? That becomes even more of a story. So, yeah, there's a lot of different ways that this could go. I mean, I think that he won't be here this week based on what we're hearing now. But if he is, I'd be even more surprised. And okay, he's there. Then the next step is, does he actually participate in anything? And I don't know. At this point, it just doesn't seem like that's the case. It seems like it's more of a statement right now. But how far does that statement continue to go once you get to training camp? But you're right, Jeremy. There's a lot of ways that this could play out. That some have much more higher financial significance than others do.
Feels like one quick thing here, I want you to, if you could remember what McDermott said about him. A lot of this is, you know, fans saying, oh, whatever, Cook, you know, they'll be fine without him. But the complimentary side of his game is the way McDermott talked about him after the season, being a dog, being laser focused, and you know, Sal, like we could talk about how the GM does the contracts and but the team's having internal discussions. And, you know, McDermott, the arc he would have taken himself on Cook and Cook proving himself, this contract aside, Cook to me strikes me as another one of these guys that player development, early on they might not have liked his practice habits or trusted him in that way, and he went from that when they drafted him to the coach really just raving about him at the end of the season this last year.
Yeah, I agree. You know, what's interesting about a lot of the discussion, or you know, how people are perceiving a lot that's happening here is, there's a difference between the Bills don't want to sign James Cook or they don't want to sign him for what he wants, right? I mean, like, I think the Bills want to sign James Cook. I do. I think they want to have him in Buffalo beyond 2025. I think it comes down to the value they want to sign him for. And a lot of the reason why they want to sign him, Jeremy, is what you just said, which is this is a player they drafted, they developed. He's been very good for them. He's very good for their system, their offense. He means a lot to them. How much, you know, but when you compare it to other players, what those players mean to their offenses, three players in this league make $15 million or more at that position: Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, and Saquon Barkley. And the Bills want to sign him. They don't want to sign him for that kind of money. There's a big difference there. But yes, I think that as much as we talk about how much the Bills over the years, and I'll be the first to tell you, I don't think the Bills believe in spending all these premium, you know, assets on running back. It's more like, hey, we draft a guy. Yeah, second round, that's it. You could say that's a really good asset, but draft a guy, use him, let him go somewhere else. Doesn't mean that that's a hard and true rule if a guy is good enough and demonstrates everything you just said, which is he did everything for us that we wanted. He's been a dog. He was laser focused. But it still comes a point where how much is too much, though, to do that. So I think that people sometimes, I get people who say, well, why don't the Bills want to sign James Cook, or the Bills don't want to sign him? I don't think that's true at all. The Bills want to sign James Cook. They just don't agree with the value that he places on himself.
Sal Capaccio with us on the Western Hotline. Sal, we got a call last hour about this. Connor McGovern's going into the last year of his deal, and he's got a $9.8 million cap hit right now. Would you almost guess that is being talked about right now? Do you think they would go into the last year with his number being that high? Because I know we've talked about how they still are pretty up against the cap. So all this Cook talk about contracts and negotiations, how much do you think they're thinking about contract stuff with their interior line, especially McGovern?
I'm sure it's, you know, something they've discussed. There's a lot of levers you can always look at. That's maybe, but they've already pulled a bunch, right, by these extensions and pushing money out and, you know, how you want to lower some caps and things like that. So that's another lever they can pull, Joe. I think the question would be, you know, hey, if we do that, are we comfortable as Connor McGovern, our long-term starting center for the next few years? Or, hey, we'll let him play this out because we have a guy behind him on a rookie contract and Cedric Van Fran Granger and another guy in Alec Anderson who we really like who can play center. Right? I mean, they have a really nice offensive line with some depth. So, yes, I think that because Connor McGovern's a good player for them, they like having him and that number is there, I think that that's very possible. I also don't think it has to be something there necessarily, oh my God, we need to do this, because maybe they really like the guys behind him and say, we can let him play out this deal and we can get a little bit cheaper next year.
Sal Capaccio, mandatory minicamp starts tomorrow. One last thing for you, Sal. We had a person in the YouTube chat ask about Trey White and how things have looked for him so far. So what you have seen from Trey White and what maybe teammates and coaches have said about him, how does Tre'Davious White look coming back to the Bills? He was not gone for very long. It feels like he was gone for a little bit longer than he was. But what do you think about the Bills veteran corner in terms of his potential to make a difference for them this year?
Well, first of all, I'll say that you don't see any effects of the injuries, right? Like, it's not like, A, you don't see anything in his natural movements or anything like that. You're like, oh, yeah, he's recovering. B, it's not like he's out there with, you know, a bunch of stuff wrapped up on his feet or his legs or stuff like that. And some guys have wraps anyway. They're not dealing with injuries, but, you know, he's not like that. And then also, guys, the thing I've been most impressed with, he's always on the field. He's playing in a lot of – he's out there like everybody else, right? It's not like they're – doesn't seem to me like they're backing off him in any way. At his age, he wants to be out there. This is going to be a fascinating kind of battle, I think. I do think right now it's a battle for the number two cornerback job, and it's Tre'Davious White because of, you know, him being Tre'Davious White and coming back, and he's been this All-Pro before, and he might not be now, and we'll see. But it's also Max Harrison because of what you spent on him, first-round pick. He should have this pedigree to be able to start on a team that has basically an opening at that particular position. And I think this is going to be a good battle to watch. Now, maybe someone else sneaks up in there. I think it's between those two, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. How has he looked? Hey, look, I mean, it's been a little uneven, but it's always going to be, I think, a non-pad situation when you have to cover, you know, Elijah Moore down the field, and there's no real pass rush, and there's no hitting or contact. And, you know, he gets beat. He got beaten a crosser a couple weeks ago, Elijah Moore, and Trey was very upset at himself. He was down the field, whatever. at the same time, you know, there's times where I see him, he's right in the mix making the play. So, yeah, I think it's very interesting watching him here, but I think we are definitely in for a cornerback number two battle when we get to camp, and we'll see where it goes.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal. We'll chat tomorrow and through the week, and we'll see where things go with James Cook.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
All right, thank you. Sal and I played in the Bills media golf tournament together. I should have brought that up. Good team. We had a good team.
You won longest drive?
I did win longest drive.
That's always a good feeling.
You know what?
There might even be a better feeling than winning like a closest to the pin.
Closest to the pin.
Because longest drive, like, you know, you're flexing when you go into the clubhouse after winning longest drive.
Yes, I would say two things. One on closest to the pin and one on longest drive. I did win longest drive. But, you know, longest drive has to be in the fairway. So I've no doubt that people would have blasted it past mine, but just missed in the fairway. And me winning longest drive on that day, Friday, mm-hmm. would have been kind of like watching a guy at the combine run a 4.3. Like, wow, this guy must be great.
Uh-huh.
And then you go dig into the tape, and you're like, well, you know what? Actually, not that good.
His play speed is
I guess he had a good run.
Yeah.
But whatever, you're right. It is nice. It was pretty cool, so I was glad to win that. Closest to the pin, here's what I would say about that. So we played at Glen Oak. We were at number two. Mm-hmm. It's a par three. Number two is the closest to the pin. So, we're, you know, it's a gettable, short-ish par three.
Yeah.
We all hit our tee shots. And nobody's close. Like, nobody's going to win this. We go up and we look at the name on the card and the distance.
Okay.
And it was Spencer Brown, 18 inches.
Wow.
Which immediately made me feel not bad at all for not getting it close.
No.
And I almost wonder, would you like to know the leader in the clubhouse when you're on the tee? All right, guys, here's the closest to the pinhole. And the lead is blank.
Yeah.
Would you want to know? 18 inches is the current score on the clubhouse.
What were they using to mark the closest to the pin?
Well,
it off the green?
It was off the green, and there's a tape measure. So you go off the green. Yeah, you didn't see that.
See, that's different than – so I had my member at Tri this weekend in Tri-County, and what they have, like, signs, like these metal signs with, like, a little like piece of paper that attaches to it, like a little clipboard, and then you put that – that's like a stake – you put that where your ball was.
See, sometimes people do that.
Yeah.
I feel like you're supposed to write it down and leave it off the green.
Okay, but there was no tape measure.
Okay, well, in that case, you don't
have a choice. So I think you were meant to do this.
You don't have a choice. They should give you a tape measure.
Which I thought to myself, because I had experienced this where one shot, this thing's not like that small. Like, it's the size of a clipboard, you know, like on top of a stake. Make sure, if you have closest to the pin, turn it so that it's not likely to play defense again. Because
wait a minute.
On one hole, if it's turned the right way, it's like a backboard. Like,
that's right.
If I hit that thing, it's metal. It's gonna smoke it, and it's probably gonna go 15 yards backwards off the green. So, you know, turn it. It still could hit it, but if it's turned the right way, then it's like a, you know, it's a sliver as opposed to like this giant backboard. Unless it's behind the pin, then I might want you to put it that way because then it is like a backboard.
Right. 803-0550. Fun with golf tournaments. We had a good time. All right, coming up. I had instant trivia. I can wait on it. I can wait on it, though. I've got a good instant trivia for all of you. A little bit different format. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Matt Parrino, an hour from now, we'll get his thoughts on James Cook and also his review of Patchy Mix's debut in the UFC. He lost on a decision. It was not a particularly close decision. It felt pretty inevitable. So Patchy Mix's debut in the UFC did not go as he might have liked it, but we'll see where it goes from here and get Matt Parrino's review of it. So local guy who's very good, and they talked him up quite a bit, and he just didn't really seem to have it on Saturday night. So Matt Parrino, an hour from now. Your phone calls, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. When we return, I've got another running back, another NFL running back who may take the next step to a Hall of Fame career.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last.
Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.